Bewildering Stories, your number one source for online literature, presents
The Coven's Curse,
written by Clyde Andrews. The story picks up with James sitting alone in his room, trying to get his head around some rather difficult homework. James's mobile beeped, startling him from his magical study. He had a nice new stick of chalk in hand and was practicing drawing magic circles on paper, trying to make glasses of water appear from nothing, with somewhat mixed results. First, only water appeared, then just the glass. He just could not get the formula right to put the two together, no matter how hard he tried. He smiled at the distraction. He was beginning to get a headache from all the concentration. Besides, he'd had to change 3 times already. Conjuring up water without something to hold it in was getting very messy. He scratched his head.
Perhaps I should try conjuring up some fruit.
He looked at his mobile. The message read,
"We have him. Be ready for us."
James looked puzzled. What the heck did that mean, he thought. He then glanced down to the book LJP had lent him, Real Magic for Dummies. He sighed. He really hadn't progressed very far in the 3 hours since he started. The glass of water trick was only lesson one.
LJP is going to be mad when he sees I haven't been doing my magical homework, and he'll be back from his holiday tomorrow too.
James decided to give it one more try before bed. Once he had completed the formula, numeral for numeral and letter for letter on the paper, a glass of water thankfully appeared just as it was supposed to. James sighed with relief, then smiled, pleased with his accomplishment and thankful he could move on to lesson two, making the glass of water disappear. LJP tried all he could to get comfortable in his state-of-the-art economy class airline seat, to no avail. He wiggled and twisted, but the damn thing just did not feel right. Maybe it was the extra lumbar support cushions or something, but living a lifetime in normal chairs had unprepared him for this seat. In the end, he gave up and looked at what entertainment was available. It was a flight he had promised himself years ago he would take. His sister kept on at him that he should visit. LJP smiled. He was actually thankful he had done so, and he actually ended up enjoying his time away from his usual life in Melbourne. The plane had only just left Heathrow, and he had a long way to go yet. With a sigh, he decided he needed something to pass the time. He concluded that the movies were not to his liking, all just flashy special effects films with no storyline, so he looked at the music selection. One title stuck out amongst the surprisingly long list. It was the Beatles' White Album. LJP smiled. He never usually listened to pop music, but he did like some of their tunes on occasion. He pressed the call button. Almost immediately, the rather attractive senior stewardess arrived at LJP's seat.
Yes, sir. How can I help you?
Yes, my dear. I would like to listen to some music. Can I have some headphones, please?
Sure thing. That'll be $2, thank you.
They charge for everything these days, don't they, my dear? I suppose they have to pay for these damn chairs somehow. He received the headphones after she quickly fetched them from a compartment at the front of the plane. Placing the headphones on, and then adjusting them several times because they just did not fit right, he then pressed the required buttons to bring up the music he wished for. LJP leaned back, trying to relax and just listen. What he heard, however, was not back in the USSR. Instead, the music was jumbled. In fact, it sounded like it was being played backwards. All he could hear besides weird noises was,
"The priest will conquer all. The priest will torture all unbelievers. The priest will rule."
And it just went on like that. LJP ripped off the headphones and immediately pressed the call button again. The stewardess was upon him within moments, smiling like a plastic Barbie doll.
Yes, sir.
I think there's something wrong with your music thingy, dear. LJP seemed a little embarrassed at having to call her over for something so trivial.
The headphones not working properly, sir?
No, they're fine. It's the music. It seems to be playing backwards. And there seems to be some sort of message being played on the backwards track.
What music were you listening to, sir?
The Beatles. Their White Album.
The Beatles' White Album? Well, it's always had a message on it when played backwards.
Yes, I know. but it usually has something about Paul McCartney being dead on it. But this message was completely different, my dear.
Oh.
Yes, you can see my dilemma. I think there is something wrong.
There certainly is something wrong, because we don't have the White Album in our music directory. I thought it was your own CD. That is until I noticed your headphones attached to the armchair console.
LJP was now convinced it was an omen, for when he rechecked the directory, it was true. The White Album was not there. Oh, silly me. I must be listening to some modern rock tune the kids like, thinking I saw the White Album on the list. My mistake. I better get my spectacles seen to. Sorry to bother you, my dear.
Oh, that's fine, sir.
You can call me LJP.
LJP. How cute. You can call me Sabrina.
Sabrina? What an enchanting name.
You men are always the charmers, aren't you?
Yes, but if something did actually eventuate from our charms, I'm sure we'd run a mile.
I know. That's why you're all so darn cute. Anyhow, I'd better get back. Any more problems, don't hesitate to press my button.
LJP laughed out loud. Flight QF-252 arrived at Tullamarine on schedule, much to LJP's pleasure. Sure, he had enjoyed the flight, mainly because of Sabrina, but he was glad to be off the plane, just so he could take off the damn compression socks. He wore them to ward against the onset of deep vein thrombosis, but the socks were a killer after 20 hours or so in the air. LJP couldn't imagine how women wore tights or stockings all day. As he stepped off the flight, his mobile beeped. LJP frowned. He could never work out how to retrieve a message, and he wished someone like Sabrina was here right now to help him. After fiddling for a while, LJP finally saw it. It read,
"We have him. Be ready for us. The priest is all powerful."
LJP raised an eyebrow, and then muttered something incoherent as he tried to turn off his mobile phone. Will tried to struggle in the bonds he was forced into. He could not remember how he had been abducted. All he knew was that he had been tied up for what seemed an eternity. The ropes burned and tightened as he struggled. It was hopeless, but he was still determined to get free, no matter what. The room was pitch dark, but he knew, even though he could not see, that there was suddenly someone with him. He could almost feel a glaring stare. He struggled some more, desperate now to get out of this situation.
"It's no use struggling, my boy."
"What do you want from me?"
Will knew he was secured to a bed. He could hear the springs creak and groan as he tried to free himself.
"Patience, my boy. You will find out."
Just then, Will felt someone sit beside him, the pungent smell of incense and old spice suddenly overwhelming him.
"Keep away from me."
"Now, why would I do that? Besides, you are going to be a very important part of my plan, my boy."
"You're sick. Just wait and see what happens to you when LJP and my friends find me. You'll be sorry, jerk."
"That is what I hope will happen, my boy. William Clark, see the light, come to the light. William Clark, come here, come to me, I am your light.
Will's mind became cloudy as the man spoke those words.
"What are you doing to me?"
the man continued. Moments later, Will stopped struggling. He was under the voice's control. LJP went to collect his luggage. Waiting for him in the baggage terminal was Mrs. Walters and Mandy.
My, my, this is a surprise.
He could see them waiting for him as he came down the escalator.
I wasn't expecting a welcoming committee.
Oh, LJP, we're glad you're back.
Mandy ran up to him and gave him a warm hug, but the way she held on to him, he felt like she would never let go.
Something tells me, besides the omens I've been getting, that something is up.
LJP looked up to Mrs. Walters. She was standing there, a concerned look drawn across her face. Her arms were even folded.
Yes, indeed, my dear. There is definitely something wrong, isn't there?
So you have been getting the omens?
Yes. I've also just received a text message too.
So did we.
I see. So who is this priest? And more importantly, I suppose, my dears, who is the hymn that he has?
Mrs. Walters' face flashed a pained expression.
We think that the priest is the leader of the coven that we were part of. But as for the hymn, we just don't know at this stage.
Well, one thing is certain. This priest certainly wants our attention. I have never, ever been detected by a dark magician before. That's certainly one for the books.
The coven is powerful, LJP.
So are we, my dear. So are we.
Mandy finally let LJP go.
I wonder if James has also been getting these messages.
There's only one way to find out.
I'll go see him.
Do you fancy a quick cuppa before we go, my dear?
Sure. I would like that a lot.
James opened his front door. Standing there was Mandy, someone he was certainly pleased to see.
I was just about to call you.
You were?
Yeah, I've been getting weird messages all day.
Funny you should mention that. That's the reason I'm here.
Oh.
What do you mean, oh?
I mean, I thought, well, didn't you?
James, don't be silly. I'm here to see you too.
James sighed with relief, then smiled boyishly.
Well, can I come in? Or are you going to leave me standing here?
Yes, sure, sorry. Where are my manners?
James blushed bright red as she passed him.
Well, actually, I only received mine a while ago. Here, do you want to read it?
James added, retrieving his mobile from his jeans pocket. Mandy took it from him, pressing the keypad to light up the most recent message. It read,
"We have him. Better come quick, or he will be mine forever."
Mandy looked at James, concern etched on her face.
I have a bad feeling about this, James. It just does not sound right. My mum thinks that it might be the coven. They want us back.
Just then the mobile beeped again. Both of them looked at it as it was held in Mandy's now trembling hand. This time the message read,
"Come to docks, building 14x7, or we'll be too late for him, the priest."
There was a long silence between them as they stood in the hallway. All they could do was look at the message and wonder about it. Mandy just hoped it was all just a hoax, although she had a nasty feeling right in the pit of her stomach that it was not. She hugged James. It was the only thing she could think of to do.
We have to go to the docks and see who they have.
James, have you thought about this? Have you seriously thought about this? Shouldn't we get LGP and Mum? I don't know about you, but there is no way I'm going alone. Seriously.
No time, Mandy. It's 6:30 now. By the time we went and got LJP, it might be too late. Didn't you see what the message said? By 7, or he gets it. Besides, we can handle it. We magicians too.
I understand, but we are not ready to come up against a magician. If it is one like we suspect, I am only just learning to use my powers. And you, well, what can you do?
I can only conjure up a glass of water.
He wished right there and then that he had spent more time working on his magic while LJP was away, instead of trying to beat the track record on his newest Xbox game. Mandy did not reply. She just held on to him.
Say, how about I text them? I'll let them know where we're going so they can meet us there. Will that be all right, Mandy?
I suppose so. But I'm not so sure about all this, James.
Of course, we'll assess the situation first. I mean, I'm sure it's just some tosser playing a prank, you know. We'll get there. I bet you the whole place will be deserted.
I do hope you're right.
We'll be right back.
The priest looked at his new disciple and smiled warmly. He was holding him about the shoulder, showing him off to the coven. Will was dressed in a gown, white and reminiscent of a choir boy's outfit.
Brothers, today I give you our latest recruit, one William Clark.
His voice booming in the makeshift church by the docks.
He is a fine lad, a beautiful lad, and he will bring us more followers into our fold. He will be the means by which we will expand our faith, the means by which we will be triumphant in this place,
he added, patting Will tenderly on his head. Will just smiled. The others, gathered about the priest, began to murmur and whisper, but they were whispers of agreement. They seemed to like what the priest was saying to them. One, however, spoke up.
But he is only a mortal. What good will he be to us besides your pleasure?
The priest looked at him, a look that could curdle milk.
He has powerful friends. Friends that will become one of us or suffer the consequences. They will, or they will forever be cursed by us. That, my friend, is what he is good for.
Then there was a wave of agreement, unanimous throughout the gathering.
Tonight, with the help of this boy's friends, we will summon our Lord, the great demon, and the true leader of our religion.
LJP smiled at Mrs. Walters as she sat down next to him, a piping hot cappuccino in hand.
I do like airport coffee, don't you?
LJP's lips quivered.
Yeah, it's all right, I suppose.
He then scooped extra sugar into his beverage. It was four large heaps later before he was satisfied with the taste.
I see you're just being polite. I would bet you've always been the polite one.
Courtesy is the glue of society, my dear.
On second thought, I bet if you really thought about it, I bet that even you, Doctor, had been a little mischievous in your youth.
I would have to think hard indeed, I'm sure.
Oh well, JP, what am I going to do with you? I just think that the world needs more like you. I don't think I've ever thanked you properly for saving my daughter and myself from the coven.
LJP rubbed his goatee.
It sounds like it may not be over yet. The coven is obviously still functioning. And you're right.
And right about what?
Mrs. Walters shifted her weight on the cane chair.
Do tell.
There's not really much to tell. But after Magic Lessons, and the fact that I had to get my head around igniting everything for 2 weeks straight, I was quite the cheeky one. Nothing serious. Just practical jokes, really, my dear.
LJP took another sip from his coffee.
Go on.
You're enjoying this, aren't you? Okay, okay. My favourite little prank was one I used against my best friend, Fred Wallows. He'd always fall for it too, the poor fellow.
Just then, LJP's phone beeped. James's SMS had arrived. LJP frowned as he read.
Looks like we'll have to continue this later. Read this.
James and Mandy arrived at the Docklands with 10 minutes to spare. Building 17, they noticed, was near a container loading facility.
This place would be a perfect place to hide, if there ever was one.
Look, don't worry. See, so far so good.
James clambered off his BMX. Mandy looked up to the heavens.
We haven't even done anything yet. Wait until we see what's going on before you declare victory, alright?
Alright. Look, I'm just trying to remain positive.
Yeah, great. I must be going out of my mind doing this.
I said I'll be okay. It's probably just some prankster sending those messages anyway.
We'll soon find out.
They approached the dark, ominous building labelled number 17.
Welcome, James, Mandy. What took you so long?
Will!
Mandy and James said in unison. Will just smiled, a smile that looked distant and cold.
What are you doing here?
She then saw, from the open hangar-like doorway, a man dressed as a priest come into view.
Oh, I see.
You're not Will. Well, you are, but...
James! He's possessed! Look!
Just then, the priest clicked his fingers. From behind barrels and boxes poured his henchmen. James and Mandy were surrounded.
Two little piggies caught all alone. My, my, how foolish you are. No matter, I now have more bait for my trap.
What trap?
The trap I have been planning for months. The trap that will see the end of that meddling magician LJP, my handsome lad.
How could they be so silly, Mrs. Walters? How?
I suppose because they are young, they do not know what could be involved.
What could be involved? My dear, trouble is what could be involved, that's what. And I have a feeling that they've marched themselves right into it. Quick, get into my car. There's no time to lose.
You want me to get into that death trap?
Mrs. Walters looked at LJP with concerned eyes. LJP returned the look. He, however, could not see the reason for her concern.
Why, yes.
Are you sure it even goes properly? I mean, does it even have air conditioning?
Of course it does. The window winder works perfectly. He patted the bonnet gently. This old girl has never let me down. Too much.
Mrs. Walters still did not look convinced by LJP's words. She, however, wanted to go with LJP, and therefore had no choice but to ride with him.
You leave me no choice, then.
That's the spirit. Now, let's go get these kids out of mischief before it's too late.
After four attempts, the engine of LJP's Corolla finally fired up. Mrs. Walters just sat in the passenger seat, looking somewhat perplexed as to why a doctor of LJP's standing would even have such a beat-up old car like this. Most doctors she knew drove Jaguars or Porsches. She sighed. LJP's car only got them as far as the airport turnoff.
You were saying about how this old girl never let you down.
Only a minor setback, my dear. Nothing that can't be fixed.
LJP rummaged through the glove box.
You know a little about mechanics as well.
Oh no, technology is quite beyond me, I'm afraid. I always use this.
He pulled his mobile phone from the clutter of papers and maps that crowded his glove box.
Calling for help, you mean?
The Royal Automobile Club of Victoria is number one on my speed dial, my dear. I'd better go get out and wait. Care to join me?
As LJP and Mrs. Walters exited the vehicle, another car suddenly pulled in front of them.
Sabrina!
The stewardess carefully stepped out of her car. She was still wearing her uniform.
I thought it was you, LJP. Need any help?
We do seem to be in a spot of bother, my dear. But what can you do? I've already called the RACV.
Sabrina came around to the front of LJP's vehicle.
Can you pop open the bonnet for me, please, dearest?
LJP raised his eyebrows, now more than curious. He, however, did as instructed.
Oh, I see your problem. Your fan belt's broken.
It is?
Yes, but nothing that can't be fixed easily.
She then began to take off her tights, right there, right on the side of the road, and right in front of not only them, but all and sundry that passed by this busy turnoff. LJP could do nothing but smile like a schoolboy as he watched her work. He certainly admired her spunk.
There you go. It'll get you where you want to go. But please, get a new fan belt as soon as you can. Okay, dearest?
What do I owe you for such a favour?
Nothing. It was my pleasure.
How about, dinner? Sometime.
He found the words difficult to get out, which frustrated him. He would have thought asking a girl out would get easier with age. He was wrong.
What about your wife?
I'm not his wife. We're just friends, that's all.
You're on, then.
After they had exchanged the relevant information, giggling together all the while, LJP and Mrs. Walters were back on the road.
You really do need a new car, LJP.
Why is that, my dear? It looks like I'm now going out with a rather attractive stewardess who knows a thing or two about mechanics.
Mrs. Walters sighed again, but her sigh was not one of being fed up. It was one that expressed her joy for LJP, even though he was determined to keep this broken-down old rust bucket.
Besides, I'm a loyal old dog when it comes down to it. I just couldn't part with it.
Mrs. Walters nodded. Sabrina was a lucky lady.
James must have blacked out, for when he woke, his hands were bound. He was also to make matters worse, trapped in a cage suspended from the ceiling of what looked like a church. He noticed that Mandy was with him. At least he knew where she was.
What took you so long to wake up?
What do you mean? How long was I out?
Long enough. Now help me get out of here. It's what I feared.
What's what you feared?
Oh, please, James. Don't be silly. Not now. This is the coven, and they have us trapped as well as Will. Take a look below us.
James looked. What he saw was his best mate. That was not in dispute. But what he was doing made his skin crawl. Will was a willing participant in whatever it was this priest and his followers were up to. He noticed Will placing candles onto each point of an upside-down pentacle, laughing and joking with the members of the coven as he did so. He even laughed with the man that looked like a priest.
Why would Will do such a thing?
He's possessed, remember, James? Now help me. I need to pick this lock.
How?
I told you not to be silly. My bra has an underwire in it. I need you to unclasp my bra so I can get the wire out.
Can't you get it off yourself?
My hands are tied like yours. I'm good at getting it off, but I'm not that good. Just hurry.
James found it difficult unclasping Mandy's bra. What with his bound hands, he also had to do it under her t-shirt.
Damn it.
What? What? What is it?
Can't seem to. No, it's no good. This bra is stuck. I can't do it. Do you have a pen?
A pen? Why the heck would I need a pen to unclasp a bra?
I need to use an unlocking formula on it.
Oh, no you don't. You can't even conjure up a glass of water without spilling it. I'd hate to see what would happen if you started drawing formula on me.
I've almost got it now. Hang on.
Where am I going to go?
After some doing, James finally managed to get the bra off. Mandy, however, only took seconds getting the wire she required.
There. Almost done. Now try to pick this lock.
Oh, you'd better hurry up. Looks like Will's placed himself inside the pentacle. What do you suppose they're going to do with him?
Sacrifice him, by the look of it. Then we'll be next, I think.
James fell silent. LJP and Mrs. Walters eventually arrived at the Docklands. See? I don't need a flashy car. I got you here. In the end.
Getting somewhere and getting somewhere in style, that is a difference, you know.
What fun would that be? Anyway, we'd better see what mischief these kids have found themselves embroiled in, my dear.
I agree.
LJP and Mrs. Walters cautiously approached Building 17 on the edge of the docks. What they saw when they entered the building took them both by surprise. I see we have indeed stumbled upon the coven and this so-called priest. The priest, busy at the altar with his coven, reluctantly turned to them as soon as they heard LJP speak those words.
Ah, finally. Now the party is complete and I can get on with my work.
I don't want to dampen your fun, but we'll just take these kids from you and then be on our way. All right, dear fellow?
Oh, LJP. I see that you can't quite grasp what I am doing here. With the spilled blood of an innocent on this very pentacle, I will be able to summon forth our great lord.
Oh, I can grasp it. It's understanding that gets me. Mrs. Walters, be a dear and draw a protection circle around us, please. Don't forget to lock it.
Of course, LJP.
A mere protection circle scribbled on the ground in chalk will not help you when our lord arrives. He is all-powerful. He is supreme. He is our lord.
Tell me, priest, when this so-called lord of yours arrives, will he know that you are a complete nutter?
Enough of this petty discussion. My friend Will here is going to help us at the pivotal stage. He will gladly spill his own blood upon the altar to realize our dream.
Just then, LJP noticed that it was indeed Will standing behind the priest, smiling with an innocent, boyish expression. LJP knew straight away that Will was under the influence of this mad priest. Mrs. Walters, having completed the locking formula, nudged LJP and motioned with her head towards her daughter and James suspended from the ceiling in the cage. LJP nodded. Just as he was about to put his plan into motion, the priest did something that stunned them. The priest took up a black candle and threw it onto the floor, even as he droned an incantation. Almost instantly, a great wall of fire burst from the small flame of the candle, cutting LJP and Mrs. Walters off from their activities at the other end of the church. This puts a spanner in the works somewhat, doesn't it, my dear?
I told you he was powerful.
No matter. We must work together to defeat him, and we must stay in this circle.
Then what are we going to do? The ceremony will not take long. They're already at the chanting stage.
Never fear, Mrs. Walters. We have a coven too. James, can you levitate that candle over the wall of fire? There's a good fellow. We can't extinguish it from here. It has to be done at the source.
Can you levitate Object Shat?
Mandy was still busy trying to pick the lock with the underwire.
Mandy, did you hear me? Can you levitate stuff?
No, I can't. Sorry, James. But I've nearly picked this lock. We should be able to get out of here soon.
James, dear fellow, can you hurry up, please? Can you get us the candle? We don't have much time.
I don't think you can do it, LJP.
Nonsense, my dear. I gave him all the books he needed to get the basics mastered while I was on holidays. James began to feel his cheeks blush.
LJP, hold on. I'll have the fire out in a minute.
James struggled as he tried to pry his chalk from his jeans pocket, his bound hands making it difficult. He noticed Will had also begun to chant with the coven as he stood in the pentacle below, and LJP had begun to pace about in his protection circle. LJP looked concerned. James frowned.
Hurry, James, please!
When James has levitated the candle to us, and the fire has been put out, I want you to leave the circle and make a dash for Will. They won't expect that, and it will create a diversion.
Okay, I hope you know what you are doing.
So do I. James, once he retrieved the chalk, immediately began to draw a circle on the cage floor, his tongue poking out from the corner of his mouth as he tried to remember the formula. Reading a spell from a book was difficult enough. Remembering one, that was tough. Mrs. Walters rubbed out the locking formula with her index finger, ready to charge towards the altar as soon as the flames disappeared. James was losing confidence. He sighed, cursed to himself, and then decided to try one more time, perspiration beading from his forehead. Mandy turned to him.
You missed a 7 there.
Thanks.
He placed the numeral where Mandy had instructed. The formula worked. James grabbed the glass of water from the magic circle and threw the contents onto the black candle, extinguishing the flame and the firewall all in one go.
Woohoo!
At that moment, Mrs. Walters bolted for the altar. The priest spun around, furious that his firewall had been extinguished. Before he could react, Mrs. Walters had snatched Will from the pentacle with a rugby-style tackle.
No matter what you do, LJP, it will only delay the inevitable. We need to rethink our strategy, my brothers,
a voice said from behind the altar. All in the church turned to the voice. Stepping out from the shadows came a man that looked exactly like the priest. There seemed to be a collective gasp from all that saw this second priest.
What's going on here? It's simple.
Second priest said casually as he approached the pentacle.
I am the true leader of this coven, and I tell you all this. Our great lord will come. But this man is misleading you all. He is doing it all wrong. Do you all want to suffer eternal damnation? He is performing a blasphemous ceremony, one that will see you all suffer. What are you talking about?
The first priest said, turning to look at the coven. They looked puzzled.
This ceremony requires a virgin. This boy is not one. He has been spoilt. How dare you summon our lord under such conditions? He will be angry with us. Now leave us, brothers. Leave us so that I may smite this fake leader.
There was a mumbling among the gathered. Even Mrs. Walters, James and Mandy looked shocked. Will, still possessed by the first priest, struggled as he tried to free himself from Mrs. Walters' clutches.
I can't believe there are two leaders of this coven.
Leave!
The second priest bellowed.
Or you shall all feel my wrath. I have the Lord's blessing.
At that moment, a great demon appeared behind the second priest with a shimmer of light and a cloud of black smoke. All the brothers of the coven fled as fast as they could run. All that remained from the dark coven was the first priest, who stood defiantly in front of the second. Mrs. Walters seized the opportunity to begin a spell to return Will from his dark captivity.
You are a fraud! A fake!
The first priest said to the second.
And your parlor tricks don't fool me!
The second priest smiled, crouched down, and changed a formula or two on the pentacle that the first priest was standing in, and neatly locked him into the pentacle. As the second priest changed into LJP, the demon disappeared. Mrs. Walters, finishing her resuscitation of Will, noted this rather pleasant development.
I wonder where you had got to, LJP.
You know how we were talking about the practical jokes I used to play on my friends? Well, you just saw my favourite one. It used to confuse the hell out of poor Fred Wallows, let me tell you. Especially when I would transform myself into his girlfriend. He'd get such a fright when he tried to make a move on her. James and Mandy laughed, and Mrs. Walters let out a little chuckle behind her hand.
LJP's fantastic, isn't he?
Ain't that the truth?
This is not over, LJP! The coven will be reunited! I will prevail! That is my promise and your curse! I will prevail!
With that, the priest clapped his hands, disappearing from sight.
Where did he go?
Who knows? But I do know it will take him a long time to convince the coven that he is their true leader. We'll be safe for now.
Seeing is believing, right?
That's right, my dear. It'll take a lot of convincing to make them see things his way. I'm just glad we all worked together to pull this whole stunt off. Mrs. Walters, you were fantastic.
Hey, what about me? I helped too.
You, young man, you've got a bit of explaining to do. I thought I gave you clear instructions about what you were supposed to know by the time I got back.
But I did put out the fire in the end.
LJP just smiled, looking up at them from above the rim of his spectacles.
I think we'd better get out of here. This place gives me the creeps. And why the hell am I dressed like a choir boy?
Mrs. Walters ruffled the hair on Will's head.
I think it's because you have such an angelic voice.
Very funny. You know it's not fair.
What's not fair, dear fellow?
You guys know what happened here? All I remember is waking up in a room with that jerk priest drooling all over me.
LJP rubbed his goatee. I'll have a look at you later, just to make sure he didn't hurt you in any way. All right?
Hello down there. Aren't you forgetting something?
LJP turned to Mrs. Walters. Are we forgetting something, my dear?
Why, no, I don't think so. We saved Will, discredited the leader of the coven, and even disillusioned the other members. No, I think that's it. Shall we go?
What a good idea, my dear. LJP offered to escort Mrs. Walters and Will from the fake church. As LJP, Mrs. Walters and Will left Building 17, James turned to Mandy.
I think that's their way of saying I should have done my homework.
I think you're right.
How's that lockpicking going?
I think it will be a while longer.
I just hope they come back for us then. Otherwise, we may be spending the night up here.
Oh, they will eventually. Just promise me next time you will do your homework.
You better believe it.
The narrator and LJP was read by Clyde Andrews. James was read by David Furler. Mandy was read by Leanne Andrews. The priest was read by Matt Vanderkog. Mrs. Walters was read by Anne Gunning. Sabrina was read by Beth Roundtree. Will was read by Josh Conti. And the coven member was read by Adrian Rayner.